Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to BCNN1's, that is Black Christian News Network 1's, The Gospel According to Greenleaf, episode number 24. This episode is titled, When the Chickens Come Home to Roost, Down at the Bishop's House. Galatians 6:7 in the Bible says, "Be not deceived. Do not fool yourself. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." In the latest episode of Greenleaf, titled The Father's Will, some major secrets about Lady May and her adulterous relationship with a certain Bishop Jeffries came to light, even more so. When Bishop Jeffries comes to town to deal with a situation regarding his son, Aaron, it is revealed more clearly that Bishop Jeffries and Lady May Greenleaf were in an adulterous relationship, and that she even contemplated leaving her beloved husband, Bishop Greenleaf, for him. At the end of the episode, she is angry to the point of slapping and hitting Bishop Jeffries. Not because the truth has come back to slap her in the face after all these years, but because she is just now finding out that she was only one of several women Bishop Jeffries was involved with outside of his marriage. Remember, his son knew about his father's adulterous relationships, especially the one with Lady May. But Bishop Jeffries didn't come for all that at first. And this goes to show you how things get messy, complicated, confused, and convoluted when sin is not confessed, repented of, and dealt with honestly and with transparency. Bishop Jeffries had originally come to town to talk to his son Aaron, only to find, upon arriving at his son's apartment, that he is involved in a homosexual relationship with another man, that other man being Bishop Greenleaf's former son-in-law. He is shocked to find out that his son is a homosexual, and he enlists Bishop Greenleaf to help him convince his son to try to change. So what should be done when the bishop's son turns out to be a homosexual in the church when the chickens come home to roost down at the bishop's house? My God, help us. Well, number one, the bishop should acknowledge his own sin, because we reap what we sow. And when we sow our sin, we have no control over the consequences of what might happen later. When we reap what we sow, we don't just get what we sowed. We get bushels and bushels, and even trees and trees, season after season. We reap what we sow, but that means also in another passage that we could reap the whirlwind. So first, the bishop should acknowledge his own wickedness and sin, his own adultery, multiple relationships with other men's wives in the Church of God. Oftentimes down at the church. He shouldn't act as if he is suddenly the innocent, righteous, holy one who has never done anything wrong himself. Sometimes we act disgusted over someone else's sin, but not our own sins. Can somebody say amen right there? The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And be sure your sin will find you out. In God's eyes, no sinner is more innocent or more guilty than any other. This is not to say that there's an equivalency to your sin to the sin of homosexuality, but at the end of the day, it is all sin and wicked in God's sight. Secondly, the bishop should stick with what the Bible says about the sin of homosexuality, that it is indeed an abomination in God's sight. It is easy to quote the Bible when it is someone else's child, but when it is your child, some will be tempted to start talking about accepting people as they are. God does not accept us as we are, contrary to what people say and think. Yes, as sinners who need to be saved, no doubt. But that's one thing. This is another. These folks are supposed to already be saved, including the two homosexuals. And that's why he sent Jesus, because we were not acceptable to him because of our sin, our adultery, our fornication, our homosexuality, our lying, our dishonesty, our deceit, foolishness, rebelliousness. God does not change the Bible for anyone. And the preacher should not start compromising just because his child is the one who is committing the abomination of homosexuality. He should condemn it as he always has. Thirdly, the bishop doesn't have to hate. The bishop doesn't have to hate his child. But if the child, as an adult, is unwilling to repent of this abominable behavior, he needs to tell him, that is the bishop, the father, and he's an adult child now, he needs to tell him that he immediately needs to find another place to stay today, not tomorrow, and he should immediately remove him from church membership. And the main reason that he needs to be removed from both places immediately is so that he does not infect others with this demonic spirit. Number four, the bishop should deal with his child just as he would deal with any other church member committing the sin of homosexuality or adultery or fornication or whatever. He should explain what the Bible says about this sin and remind the child that as a saved person, he has the power of the Holy Spirit to help him fight the temptation. However, he or she must choose to fight it, just like every Christian must fight their temptation. Thank God I've never had a temptation for an ugly, stinking man, but I certainly have temptations for beautiful, fine women. And I love Jesus, but I love fine women too. And I have to say no, because God is not going to bless my mess. Even though fornication and adultery between a man and a woman is quite different to homosexual sins between a man and a man and a woman and a woman, sexual temptation is really no different than any other temptation. Just because our flesh wants to do it, that doesn't mean we have to do it if we are born again children of God. Can somebody say amen? You can say no by the grace of God and with the Holy Spirit of God. Number five, depending on the circumstances, the bishop should consider resigning. Yes, even if the child is an adult. Because those parents knew something wasn't right early on. And other atrocities may have already been committed, including the beating up of a 5-year-old opposite sex child because of this wicked abomination, the abuse of children, where they worked at in the church and so forth. The bishop needs to consider resigning. Why? 1 Timothy chapter 3 verses 4 and 5 says, a bishop must rule well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? This is a matter for the pastor to take up with the church elders. A child turning out to be a homosexual may or may not be a reflection on the parenting of the bishop. In most cases, that will be the case. They should pray and seek the Lord's guidance in this matter, but something is wrong somewhere. We may have to go visit Grandpapa and Grandmama. And if the great-grand is living, we might need to ask her some questions or him some questions. about abominations in the past. My God, help us. Incest. Adultery. Fornication in the church. Abortion. Killing babies. Unborn babies, because you didn't want to be embarrassed in the community. God does not like ugly, my dear friend. Maybe their homosexuality, they're fooling around, they're throwing their rocks and hiding their hands. Somebody need to ask somebody something, because this boy is twitching like a girl. What in the is happening? And this boy got barrettes in his hair. The other day I saw him in a pink skirt. Somebody did something wrong somewhere. We be not deceived, my beloved. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. A long time ago, I was much younger in the ministry than I am now, but I had a family member to ask me, quite frankly. We were having a Thanksgiving dinner or some kind of dinner. My wife had fixed something she thought was special. And we were getting ready to eat around the dining room table. And this family member was outside of my immediate family. And somehow this person asked me if homosexuality was wrong. Or what did I think about it? And I said, yes, homosexuality is not only wrong, it is a grievous sin and an abomination against God and to God, because it is Satan's attempt to try to turn God's world on its head. And let me remind you of an old hymn that says, "This is my Father's world." I told them that, however, a lot of what is happening today, I believe, is that the chickens are coming home to roost because of parents, grandparents, and great-grandparents who have committed adultery and fornication, even homosexuality, incest, rape, molesting of children, and on and on, and had children out of wedlock, causing people in the family to have sex with and even marry their own blood, and committing other sins and atrocities that are unconfessed, undealt with, unrepented of for generations. Dark, dead, evil secrets, and nobody can keep secrets like black folk. Now those sins and the consequences of those sins are showing up in our children, our grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. The chickens have come home to roost. And like cancer, sin has a way of mutating and metastasizing. Always remember, my beloved, when you sow a seed, just one little bitty seed of evil, you're not just going to get one fruit. You are going to get bushels and bushels of fruit over and over again, season after season, and it will all be baskets of bad fruit. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And when the reaping time comes, all you can do is reap and weep. Exodus 34:7 says that God will visit the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. This does not mean that the children are not responsible for their own behavior. What it does mean is that when one person opened up the door to sin in the past, they had no control over how the consequences of that sin will play out in their life and in the lives of their children and grandchildren. For example, great Bishop Sam Watson Sr. may be a great pillar of the church, or at least seen as a great pillar of the church and in the community back in the 30s. But Sam Watson the third or fourth may be a silly-minded homosexual walking down the street in a pink skirt and barrettes and lipstick on his face. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Just as parents pass along good traits to their children and grandparents and great-grandparents, they also pass along bad traits and a predisposition for their own sins and weaknesses and wickedness. If this influence is not checked early on by the grace of God and dealt with, and by the way, even if it is, some reaping still will take place. However, the grace of God can make a big difference. Can somebody say amen? It will only get worse and worse with time. Your sin will, my friend, find you out. We see this demonstrated effectively in Greenleaf. No one would deny that the Greenleaf family would be much better off if they hadn't kept so many, first of all, committed so many sins in the past and kept so many secrets from each other. What needs to happen in all Christian families is a whole lot of confessing needs to go on, a whole lot of honesty, a whole lot of transparency, and then a whole lot of I am sorry, and a whole lot of repentance needs to happen. Don't bow your head yet. It's not time to pray. We're going to pray in just a minute. The children and grandchildren could have been warned early on about what their weaknesses, their sins, and proclivities would be, and they would not have been waylaid by sin, pain, and calamity. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help us acknowledge our past. Help us to acknowledge the wickedness, the evil, and the sin that not only we have committed, but our parents have committed, our grandparents have committed, and even our great-grandparents. And our children and grandchildren are suffering because of sin. They are still responsible for the evil they do, parents and grandparents have a responsibility to bear as well. Have mercy and grace upon all of your Christians in the church who refuse to confess their sins, repent, and tell the truth, and tell where all the bodies are. Lord, and help all of us to repent and to tell the truth and to be transparent and to get it real and to keep it real for the salvation of the lost, for the encouragement of the saved, and for your glory, your praise, and your honor. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you're listening today and you have never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, allow me to show you how you can trust Christ as Savior today and be saved from sin and hell and have a home in heaven when you die. First, beloved, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. You have done some bad things. You have broken the commandments of God, and so have I, and so has the Pope. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, beloved, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Every time we die physically because of sin, and we go to hell to burn forever, to be tormented forever because of our sin. God does not put us into hell. We put ourselves into hell because of our sin. Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now. Jesus Christ, the loving Lord of glory, preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. He preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Now that is bad news, and I know most people do not want to hear any bad news, but you have to hear the bad news, because the good news is good news because there is bad news. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his name is Jesus, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish." Perish where? Perish in hell, but have everlasting life. Just believe, dear friend, in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid the price for your sins and for mine. He died on the cross for our sins here. He is the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world, your sins and mine. And all we have to do is trust in him and believe in him, and believe that he died for our sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you and me, so that we can live eternally with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart, dear friend, today, and he will. And please believe these words found in Romans 10:9-13. That if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from sin and the punishment of sin, which is hell. And so, dear friend, if you believe right now in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose from the dead, and you want to trust him for your salvation today, please pray with me this simple prayer and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done some bad things in my life. Even some some of the sins that are being brought out in this show called Greenleaf. I am sorry for my sins. And today, Holy Father God, please have mercy upon me, a sinner. I believe with all of my heart that you died for me, was buried, and rose again. Now, Lord, I pray that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to follow you for the rest of my life. For your glory, praise, and honor. And from this point on, be the shining light you want me to be. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Beloved friend, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, the Bible, you are now saved from sin and hell, and you are on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. Congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, may God bless you and keep you. We look forward to seeing you for the next Gospel According to Greenleaf podcast.